The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, you don't want to know. You actually don't want to know.
I shudder to think. I mean, my mind is going in about a 10 million crazy direction.
I know, that's what was worrying me. That's why I said you actually just don't want to know. But from charcoal, honey-infused charcoal lattes to cannabis-flavored ice creams or infused ice creams in Israel. Have we?
I kid you not.
No, you know, I feel like I'm in the twilight zone today.
Well, I don't know if this is trying to be efficient, you know, while you get your doobie on and take care of the munchies at the same time.
Ah, clever.
But one of our most popular ice cream chains has introduced a brand new flavor to its flavor profile, and that is cannabis. So apparently, and I didn't know this, it's been available since March. I think people are just trying to keep it quiet. I mean, I've heard of another chain.
There's that has marketing strategy for you. Cream. Yeah.
Another chain has a glow-in-the-dark ice cream, and my personal opinion, I don't know what you think, but any food that glows in the dark should be avoided at all costs.
I agree with you on that one.
If you need a radiation suit or a hazmat suit, it's probably not a good idea.
Don't eat it. Exactly.
If
the candle at your romantic dinner is your pasta, then you're doing something wrong, right?
Clearly something wrong. But, you know, when I saw this, I had to read twice what cannabis-flavored ice cream.
Okay, so here's a question. Is it cannabis? I mean, does it contain cannabis or is it just a cannabis flavor?
Aha. That's the million-shekel question. Mm. It doesn't have any THC, which is the active psychoactive ingredient, which is found in marijuana, doobie, Zol, Mary Jane, whatever you want to call it, chronic.
Right, but from what I understand, Israel has been working very, very hard to develop cannabis without or with a low THC. In other words, it's cannabis that can be used, I know, for epilepsy and all sorts of other conditions, but it doesn't give the high that the drug traditionally would give because of the THC. So this is low THC cannabis.
In fact, this is no THC. They've taken the THC out. And the rationale behind it is that apparently people don't know what cannabis tastes like because people don't eat it. I mean, I thought maybe you smoked it, Howard. Maybe you didn't eat it.
Yeah.
But apparently the creator of the flavor, he studied the marijuana plant. I'm not even going to question what his methods
of research
were. But
quite extensive, I imagine. Mm.
But gay goes on to hate, honey. I mean, you found a way to just be more efficient by taking care of your munchies at the same time. And he learned about its different terpenes. I don't know what a terpene is, so if any of our listeners know, please let me know. And aromas. And apparently, he says he has created an ice cream that, in his opinion, tastes like the aroma of cannabis. I mean,
I've been sat in my
office getting a contact high from the builders in my neighborhood.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I've never ever tried cannabis. I've never smoked it, but I've been in people's company, and I think it actually smells awful. It doesn't smell like something that you would want to eat.
Well, apparently it's very, very nutty tasting, and I don't know. Do I put my head on a block and say I offer to go do a taste test?
I think you need to, Rolene. I think you need to look. We've got Donovan checking the effects of a charcoal latte on Viagra. If you can maybe check the effects of the ice cream, the taste of the ice cream, we can have sort of this whole feedback session.
Excellent idea. I think I will go and taste this cannabis-flavored ice cream and report to you whether or not I'm actually hungrier after having a
talk about Moorish. Right, yeah, one scoop is never enough. All right, bizarre stories. Tell us about Lana Del Rey heading to Israel.
Well, this is really, really good news for Israelis. Lana Del Rey, some of you might know, she sings Summertime Sadness. I'm a great fan of Lana Del Rey. She's got this very bluesy, sultry sound. Love her. But 4 years ago, she had to cancel her show in Israel because it was in the middle of Operation Protective Edge. And the general thoughts or feelings at the time was that it would be a major security risk to have too many people gathered in one place, and then you can't get people people to safety, etc., etc. But she is here next month, and she will be appearing as part of the three-day meteor festival. I didn't even know there was a meteor festival, which takes place on a kibbutz in the north. So she will be here for 3 dates, and we already have quite an impressive lineup. We have rapper Pusha, we have DJ Flying Lotus, maybe he also had some cannabis ice cream, and jazz saxophonist Kamasi Washington. So I don't know how would Zanati, is it me or is her judgment in venues maybe a little bit dodgy? But
seems a little so.
The kibbutz is just 10 kilometers from the border with Lebanon.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have had a few cancellations, citing that, you know, they're a little bit concerned
about
that the kibbutz is a titch too close to Lebanon. Tiger, Fat Joe, they are a little bit concerned, you know, that something should fly over the border and whack them
not
in the show. But Lana Del Rey is headed here, so
incredible.
Very, very cool.
Absolutely incredible. The other good news was, in fact, I was getting quite nervous about this. We were reaching a deadline for the deposit for the Eurovision competition, and at the very, very last moment, it was paid. So tell us about the story. Give us a bit of the background here.
Okay, so yesterday a settlement was reached between the government and Kan, which is the Israel Public Broadcasting Corporation. I mean, I don't know what their logan or slogan is, Howard. Is it Yes We Kan? I don't know. but they received about 50 million in financing guarantees for the Eurovision Song Contest, which will be held in Israel next May because of the winner, Netta Barzilai, being Israeli, and whoever wins is the winner's home country is the host of the Eurovision Song Contest. But what is very, very interesting is that Canadian-Israeli billionaire Sylvan Adams has stepped in to help out financially. Now, Sylvan Adams is the man responsible for bringing us the Giro d'Italia.
Wow. I'm starting. So he's basically the Israeli version of Patrice Motsepe, Zanati. Because he brings us everybody here in South Africa.
Yep, exactly.
Whoever we want, he's bringing us here.
Yeah.
So now Israel's got their very own.
Mm.
And he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. His name is Sylvan Adams. He bought us the Giro, which is the biggest cycling event in the world. And it was the first time that parts of the race had been held outside Europe. So he is now expanding his influence or his portfolio. And this is his own money. He is now
That's incredible.
Contributing as part of a venture to bring major international events to Israel. And his rationale is whatever he can do to improve Israel's image around the world, he will. I mean, think about it. Every time you watch the Giro d'Italia and a cyclist lag behind or a cyclist that needs to fix something or something happens, you have to mention that it's taking place in Israel. And, of course, for once people could see the beautiful terrains, the exquisite golden stones of Jerusalem, and now we are making sure that your cheesy songs that feature in Eurovision, which is very serious here, guys. I must tell you, Eurovision's a very serious event in Israel. It will be taking place next
year. Do we have any sense of where it will be taking place? Of course, we know that Netta Barzilai, when she won, said next year in Jerusalem. It's meant to, it can be, or it's traditionally in the country's capital. But of course, there's some concern about that. And my personal concern, by the way, is that I actually did not even a concern. I think that Tel Aviv would rock Eurovision. I think it would be, it's the right place for it. It's the right energy for it. It's a city that would take Eurovision to the next level. Unlike Jerusalem, which I'm sure will be very pleasant, but it'll be, it's just a different energy. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, Well, of course. Well, first of all, Howard, I'm very upset that Modi'in is not on the list of cities to host it. I mean, last night we had a beer festival, so we really are coming up in the world. But definitely Tel Aviv. First of all, if the Eurovision contest happens, it's usually on a Saturday, so to have it very close to the end of Shabbat in Jerusalem, our capital, also the holy city, is also probably quite offensive to many of our sensibilities. But Tel Aviv, would Tel Aviv rock Eurovision? And then some.
So, but has there been any discussion about it? I mean, I know that at the time, a few days before this deadline, there was talk that the city of Tel Aviv itself was going to make the funds available, but said, you know, we'll help you to bring Eurovision here, even if it's not, even if it doesn't happen in Tel Aviv, it's not a condition, which I thought was very, very impressive of the mayor of Tel Aviv, I have to say. But has there been any internal discussion, or was this week really just about focusing on making sure that actually Israel can host it by putting up the guarantees required?
Well, first of all, we had to clear the financial hurdle. The second big discussion is where in the country are we going to host it? And I think most Israelis would agree that Tel Aviv is the place to have it. Yes, our morale would say let's have it in Jerusalem, but also do we want to politicize this kind of event? And I think that if we had it in Jerusalem, yes, it would be very nice, but I think it would make this event a very, very highly political issue, and then we will have all sorts of complications. So I'm with you. Tel Aviv has my vote. I think no city in Israel rocks quite like Tel Aviv. Even us in Modi'in with our beer festival, Howard, nothing comes close to the energy of Tel Aviv.
So you had a beer festival and everything. All right. Well, there we go. Whew, wild there in Modi'in. But as far as I know, it's not one of the real options, is it?
Not one of the real options. Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, some have said maybe Haifa. I think Haifa is also a little bit laid back. And some have said Eilat, and I really don't see Eilat happening.
We got it. Tel Aviv is right. It is so perfect. It would be absolutely sensational. I mean, that's my view. It's just the city that matches Eurovision. You know, I could just see the residents of the city and the dogs dressing up for the occasion.
Well, you know, far be it for me to mention my favorite eccentric in Tel Aviv, who rain or shine, 30 degrees or not, wears her big bird coat, and
there we go. So there you have it. It's got to be Tel Aviv. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you, as always, for your input, your insights, and your humor. We'll chat to you next week. You have a great one, and a Shabbat Shalom.